Please welcome Dean Thompson.
So high up in the Sierra Nevada, on the east side of the Sierra Nevada, up at about 9,000 feet, there's a little place known as Tamarack Lodge Resort. And it sits there nestled in amongst the lodgepole pines on the shores of Twin Lakes above the town of Mammoth. And it consists of a log cabin lodge, the lakefront restaurant, which is a great place to eat, cross-country ski center and adventure center, and assorted cabins and buildings that tourists can rent out and that employees live in. And this was the place that I spent my winter of 83 and 84. And when we first arrived at Tamarack Lodge, we were greeted by my field partner, John Ball, and his wife, Debbie Jo, and a few other employees, and several dogs. And these dogs were part of the loose pack of about 5 to 6 dogs that lived there up at the lodge with their humans. And my eye was quickly drawn to this one particular beast. He was a magnificent animal, very large. His name was KB. And he was originally John's dog, but he ended up just being the dog that lived at the lodge. And he was a large, muscular, thickly furred, unneutered Alaskan Malamute. And by the way he carried himself, you could just tell he was the alpha male of that pack up there. Now, my dog at the time, his name was Desmond. And Desmond was half Queensland Heeler. The other half was Border Collie Australian Shepherd. And he was black and white, had a black patch over one of his ears and eyes of his otherwise white face. He had no tail, and he was 4 months old. And he was unquestionably the cutest little ball of fuzzy puppiness ever to melt somebody's heart. And when Desmond the puppy met KB the alpha male, he wriggled on up to him and jumped up on his face and started humping his face. And KB responded as any unneutered alpha male would respond to a youngster committing the crime of not showing due deference to their elders. And that is, he punished him. And basically, KB went and pinned him to the snow with his mouth over his neck and head. And most of the other people standing there, they didn't see the initial encounter. They just saw this big dog beating up on a little dog. And so immediately, they're like, "That dog, KB, get out of here," kicking him, moving him out of the way. And KB was looking at him going, "What? The dude was humping my face. I mean, what am I supposed to do, right?" And so began Desmond's lessons in crime and punishment in the canine world. Now, when we talk about punishment, that word punish is such a great word. It's punish, the punisher, okay? I was reading punishment. Punishment is retaliatory or moralistic aggression. And it's been observed in all species of social animals. And many biologists think it's an evolutionary stable strategy selected to foster cooperative behavior within the group. And when I look at a healthy pack of canines, what they do to each other, I hesitate to call it punishment. It's more like corrections given at the time of the infraction. And after that day, KV never was really overtly aggressive to Desmond ever again. And he let Desmond know his position in that social hierarchy of dogs there, which was basically rock bottom. And he'd see, you know, Desmond from a ways away, and he'd come trotting up, head up high, tail up high, and Desmond would see him coming and get lower and lower. And KB would come up to him, and Desmond roll over on his back, and then KB would stand over him, kind of turn his head to the side and just curl one lip, and then Desmond would start peeing all over this way. And KB would be like, "That's right, buddy. Don't you forget it." And then he'd go and pee way up high on a tree trunk or a snowbank somewhere. And Desmond would just lay there watching him going, "Wow, I'm going to be like that someday." Well, as the weeks and months went by in the winter, KB and Desmond, their relationship actually improved. And they actually, you know, he tolerated Desmond a little bit more. He'd let him kind of frolic around, maybe lick his lips and everything. But if he ever went beyond his social status, KB was quick to let him know with a growl, a little nip, or a little snarl at him. And Desmond would be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, KB, I'm all right, okay, I'm a wiggling, okay, can I be your friend still?" And he peed a little bit, and KB would be like, "Okay, just remember where you're supposed to be." And he was good after that. Now, not only did Desmond have to learn how to behave within a pack of canines, he also had to learn how to behave with the human pack as well. And in this case, I was the alpha male. And so that required me to teach him how to behave, how to be a proper good dog. He had to learn how to not pull on the leash. He had to learn not to bark incessantly for no reason at all. He had to learn how to not take all the wood by the wood-burning stove and strew it all over the cabin. He had to learn not to take the toilet paper roll and unroll the toilet paper all over the cabin, not to get in the trash, and many other things. And to do this required me to provide corrections. Now, most of the time, positive reinforcement treats were helpful, but a lot of times that only goes so far. So a lot of times it was like, hey, leave it, get out of there. I mean, verbally I had to do this, but then there were times when it required a little more drastic measures. A rolled up newspaper is always good, loud but effective, doesn't hurt them. And in really drastic measures, I'd have to grab him by the scruff of the neck and drag him over somewhere. And there was one time I came out, and he had been getting in the trash so much, and I caught him right in the act, which is the best way to, you know, train the dog. In the act, he's in the trash. You get, and he grabs something and takes off. It's like, you are not going to succeed with this. So I tracked him down. I grabbed him by the scruff of the neck. He dropped the thing, and I dragged him over to the trash to show him it was a bad thing to do. He yelped once or twice, and just bad dog, and let him go. And my roommate looked at me. He goes, man, you are so mean to your dog. And it's like, I'm not being mean, I'm providing a little discipline for it. Now, I know that there are people out there that do not agree with this type of dog training. They don't, that it should all be positive reinforcements and tidbits, but I'm not bragging, but I've raised many dogs. And everywhere I've gone, people have always complimented me on how well-trained and how obedient and wonderful my dogs are. And a lot of times these drastic measures, like grabbing them by the scruff of the neck or having to swat them with a roll, two or three times. And after that, it's totally unnecessary. They understand it. Not all breeds are that way, but most breeds are that way. Now, the hardest thing I had with Desmond was getting him to stay by the lodge. See, I had these friends, they had these dogs. They'd go inside of a store or a restaurant. The dog would sit outside, no leash, just sit outside the store and wait for him. They'd go have dinner, you know, come back out, the dog's right there. And they go off with him. I thought, that was really cool. I want Desmond to be the same way. So sometimes I'd tie him up if I was going to be in the lodge a long time. But a lot of times I would just go in there for like 5 minutes or so and come back, and he'd be out there, or he might be hanging out with the other dogs. But the problem was, he's just so damn cute. And so he'd be sitting outside there being a good dog. People would walk by, oh, look at that little puppy. Oh, he's so cute. Come on in. And then he'd go off, and I'd be looking around trying to find him. One time I came out, and I was only in there for like 5 minutes. I come out of the lodge. I'm looking. I can't find him anywhere. I'm calling, whistle, whistle, call, whistle. I can't find him anywhere. I'm wandering around for like 10, 15 minutes trying to find him. I'm talking to people, and finally this one woman's like, oh, a little black and white dog, kind of looks like a little one-eyed panda, kind of trundling through the snow. I said, yeah, that sounds like him. Oh, yeah, we saw him. He was back down the road, back towards town with a couple skiers going down the road. I thought, oh, great. So I hop into my car, and my car at the time was a white 63 Rambler Classic sedan. It had fold-down front seats, straight six under the hood, and a black steel dashboard. Anyway, I hop into my car. And I'm driving down the road, and as I'm driving down the road, big fat flakes of snow are floating down over the countryside and adding to the drifts on the side of the road and landing on the boughs of the tree. And it's just beautiful. It's like this winter wonderland. And up ahead of me, in front of me, on the other side of the road, I can see these two skiers skiing along through this wonderland with this little puppy frolicking in the snow around them. And so as I approach them, I start to slow down. And then for some reason, I don't know why, Desmond starts running. He just turns and starts running right into the middle of the road. And so I slam on my brakes, which you should never do on an icy road. And all of a sudden, now I'm just sliding uncontrollably right towards the dog. The dog stops and sees me right in the middle of the road. And I don't know how or what happened, I just lost sight of him and started spinning. I did a 540, 1.5 times around. And I don't know where the dog was. I couldn't see anything. It was just this panorama going in front of my windshield of snowbanks, winter wonderland trees, two skiers standing there staring wide-eyed, mouths agape, as this car nearly flattens this little dog in front of their face. I stop with the car facing straight up, going back up the hill, and I get out of the car. I'm wondering where my dog is. There he is. He's totally unharmed, not hurt at all. And so I go up to him, and he realizes I'm a little mad.
And he's like, I'm getting out of here. And he's trying to get us. So I grab him by the collar and he slips the collar. So now I run over and I grab him by the scruff of the neck. I am very mad. I'm irritated that this whole thing happened. I'm blaming myself. So I grab him by the scruff of the neck. I put him in the, I just open the passenger door. I throw him in the back seat, slam the door, go around to the driver's side, get in the driver's side, slam the door, step on the gas, and up the hill. And as I'm fishtailing on up the hill, I think to myself, you know, I probably should have said something to those skiers. Because I look in the rearview mirror and they're just standing there in the same place, looking around. And I can only imagine the stories they told when they got back to wherever it was that they were going. And so I drove back to the lodge and I parked there and I got out and I took Desmond and I set him down by the lodge and I said, stay. And I went inside the lodge and I hid and I waited. And I waited, and as soon as he moved, I got up and I said, no, you stay. And then I waited a little bit longer, and then I came out, oh, good boy, you're a good boy. And then we went off. And for the next week, I did that. Every time I go in the lodge, I would tell him to stay, and then I would hide somewhere different, and I'd spy on him. And I'd wait for him to misbehave, and as soon as he, you get back over there. And then I wait until a little while longer, and then I come out and go, oh, you're a good boy, you're a good boy. So, and after doing that for about a week or so, he never ran off. After that, he never ran, well, there were some other times he ran off, but that's a totally different story for a totally different theme, okay? Two or three of them. Anyway, so training dogs, it's really not that hard, you know? I mean, it just takes time, takes patience, a ton of patience, consistency, and occasionally a punishment, or shall we say a correction that any alpha would do to another member of their pack. And for those people that, in my mind, commit the crime of not training their dog, well, then they are punished by having a beast that they're always apologizing for and they're embarrassed to take wherever they go. But for those of us that take the time and the effort to train our dogs, we're rewarded with a calm, submissive, cooperative member of our pack. So, train your dogs.